The recording has started. You may now proceed.
All right. Well, great. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the NextGen RDS PDP Working Group call on the 7th of March, 2017. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio branch, would you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, it's Beth Allegretti. I'm audio.
All right. Thanks, Beth. We'll note that. And as a reminder to everyone, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any problems. With this, I will turn the call back over to Chuck Gomes.
Thanks, Michelle, and welcome everyone to our working group call today. You can see the agenda in the Adobe screen, except for the one person who's not in Adobe. Hopefully you saw it in email. It's a full agenda. We have a lot to cover as this is our last working group meeting before being in Denmark, and we'll have a three-hour meeting this coming Saturday. So let's get rolling. First of all, does anyone have an update to their statement of interest? Okay. Before I call on Amr, let me welcome him as a part of the ICANN staff team. Many of us have worked with Amr in various other working groups before he came on to ICANN staff. But Amr, we're really pleased that you're part of the team supporting this working group. So welcome. And I'll give you a chance to talk now.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. And yeah, I just did want to point out that I am now, I've joined ICANN staff and will be supporting this PDP working group. Very happy to be here. And please let me know whenever you need help. Thanks a lot.
You can count on that, Amr. We will, because we rely on staff probably more than we should, but the team is a great help, and I know you will add to that. So welcome on board. So the first agenda item is the questions for the data commissioners that are going to be with us and the whole ICANN community in Copenhagen. So if we could bring up those questions, I would appreciate that. Thanks for several of you who contributed to some discussion on the questions yesterday and earlier today. That was appreciated. excuse me. Forgive me if I have just a little bit of cough today. I'm just about over a cold. I'm hoping I'll be over completely by the time I get on my plane Thursday. But forgive the little bit of a hacking cough. I would like to point out that our objective on this agenda item, especially Part A, is to finalize the list of questions for the data commissioners so that we can send them the questions in advance, and so that we can send them to the chair and the GNSO representative on the panel that will be in the cross-community session on Monday. And the chair, as many, some of you probably know, maybe not all, but Becky Burr will be the facilitator or coordinator of that panel. And Jim Galvin, who's one of our members and is on the call today, I'm glad you're on, Jim, will be representing the GNSO, not this working group specifically, but I'm sure he will be able to take advantage of being on the working group. And we're going to send the – Jim will already have the questions, so I don't really need to send them to them. But the leadership team would certainly appreciate it if Becky doesn't weave in some of the questions that we've posed, we hope, Jim, that you can, as appropriate, do that for us. There's no way we're going to cover all the questions on our Wednesday meeting with the data commissioners then, so we're hoping that a good number are covered in the cross-community session on Monday. So, with that introduction, let's talk about the questions. We're not going to go through them in detail. You're welcome to do that. You have scroll privileges in Adobe. You can scroll through as you like. But what I'm going to do is just refer to the questions and see if there are any comments or questions. The first question number one is on purpose, and question number two is on purpose. In fact, I think what I'll do is refer to the categories. So are there any questions or comments on the purpose questions that are on the screen now, questions one and two? Susan, and let me, I neglected to thank Susan and Lisa for a lot of time put into this to get this close to final version in front of us. And thanks to the special group of people who submitted questions, because all of these questions came from them, except one that I threw in, I think. Susan, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Susan Kazuchi, for the record. So I just wanted to just give an update on what we've done since Friday. The small team provided all the questions, submitted them. We put them all together in one document, and at that time refined a few when we had overlapping questions, and sent those back out to the whole working group. Received some comments, used those comments to synthesize the questions even further. So, you know, the original drafters may look at these questions and go, that was not my language or my wording, but we did feel that some of the questions, we had too many questions, so therefore we needed to drop a few. It was hard to bring it down to 10 to 12, so I think there's 19, not sure. And at that point, you know, just in trying to narrow down the questions, if there was a question that was extremely similar submitted by two different people, we tried to combine that into one. But I do appreciate everybody's hard work on this, and I think we've got a great group of questions. Not sure that, you know, during the panel we'll be able to get those all in, but Lisa and I talked about some strategy about doing that with members of the RDS team who are in the audience that day. So that's about it, Chuck.
Thanks, Susan. And note Lisa's comment in the chat. This is Chuck, by the way. Note Lisa's comment in the chat that any of our working group members that are in in the audience for that cross-community session during audience Q&A, if you want to suggest one of these questions, feel free to do so. That would be fine. And, of course, I'm not running the panel, but I'm sure that they will have a Q&A session for the audience. And let's take advantage of that if we can. Okay. Questions one and two. And again, I'm not going to wait too long, but if anybody, I didn't see any comments on questions one and two in my email. In fact, I'll look at my email real quick, too. I'm behind about half a dozen or so emails, so if one came in late, I probably haven't read it. So, yes, Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. Given that there are 19 of these questions, we may not want to step through all of them, but just ask for comments on specific questions.
I'm going to do it by category.
Great.
Okay. Okay. Let's go then to the registration data element questions. And I know we have some questions there, some comments that were already submitted. So let me call attention to those. And Steve and Tajabi, if you want to jump in on this, just raise your hand. And I see Steve's on and Tajabi's on too. Great. Okay, so Steve, let's let you start.
Yeah, thanks. This is Steve Metalitz. I had a question about the about question four, but I think that's that was just basically a typo, and has been cleared up, or can be cleared up quickly. On three, my only, you know, I came to the end of this and it said, the last sentence says, you know, it has a lot of information beforehand, and it says, if so, would entities that collect and process this data be considered in violation of the directive and the GDPR? I'm just hesitant to ask for legal opinions about violations because we know, well, first of all, we've been told many, many times by people in this group that some of these data protection authorities anyway don't want to give advisory opinions or can't give advisory opinions, perhaps. And second, you know, I'm not even sure that these people who are actually going to be appearing here, none of whom, as I understand it, are data protection authority representatives. They are experts on data protection, but they don't actually enforce any data protection law that I know of. I just don't think it's appropriate to ask them, well, here I've given you some facts. Is this a violation of the directive, or is this a violation of the will this be a violation of the regulation that comes into force next year? So my suggestion was just drop that last sentence. The question before it is, you know, is this stuff personal data? Do you think this stuff is personal data? Again, I mean, that is asking for some kind of legal opinion, but it's not saying, is this a violation of the directive? Because, again, just collecting and processing personal data by itself is not a violation of any of these laws, as far as I know. It all depends on the circumstances and how the data has been obtained and what consent has been given and so on and so forth. So that was my only suggestion. Drop that last sentence of question number three. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Steve. This is Chuck. McKaylee, your turn.
Thanks, Chuck. Briefly, agreeing partially, but partially disagreeing with Steve. I think it's important that for them to tell us which items of data they consider to be personally identifiable information, because sometimes there seems to be a lack of clarity around that. And that's not a question of whether there's a violation or not. It's just simply whether it falls within the scope of being personally identifiable information or not. That, I think, is helpful. Because there has been some discussion both here and elsewhere where some people say, well, this bit of data is personally identifiable, this bit of data isn't. Why is there a problem with this bit? Why is there a problem with that bit? So if they're able to say, okay, as far as we are concerned, you know, this particular element is personally identifiable information, that is helpful. And beyond that, then, yeah, okay, that's a totally different conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, McKaylee. This is Chuck. And as I understood, Steve wasn't suggesting eliminating the question about personal data, only the last question. So does anybody object to deleting that last question, which is, if so, would entities that collect and process this data be considered in violation of the directive and the GDPR? Anybody object to deleting that, keeping the previous question? Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark. I guess I kind of object. I don't disagree with Steve, but I would rather have the people on the panel tell us what they can't and can't answer, rather than us deciding what they can and can't answer. If they can't answer it or they're not comfortable speaking to it, they won't. But I don't think it hurts us any to at least ask. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. The only hurt that I can see is we have way too many questions, and so if we can trim it down a little bit, it helps us, rather than, as Steve says, possibly asking something that we know they won't respond to and wasting time doing that and maybe them explaining that. So that would be the only hurt I could see. But thanks, Mark. Theo, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck, and this is to you for the record. I'm actually objecting to the deletion of the last part. I mean, the GDPR, it came out in 2016. It's going to be leading for many of the stuff that we are doing, and I think it's up to the data commissioners to actually say, we can't answer this, or we're not in a position to answer this, and that will be final. And if they can weigh in, I think it will heavily guide us. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. So we have a couple people objecting to the deletion. Let me do a quick poll to make it easy on the rest of you. Does anyone else object to the deletion of that sentence? And if so, would you put a red X in Adobe? And if you're not in Adobe, just speak up. And I'll allow 30 seconds or so for you to do that. Okay, so I see Stuart. Thanks, Stuart. So I'm gonna assume that the rest of you are okay with deleting that sentence. And with no offense to the three people who objected, I'm going to suggest that we go ahead and delete it just for logistics' sake. Under normal circumstances, if we didn't have so many questions and if we had unlimited time, I agree totally with what you said, that let's let them tell us, but we're not going to have very much time, so I'm going to suggest that we go ahead and delete it, with apologies to the three of you. So let's go then to question four, and an edit has been was not made or needs to be made to what was sent around. And I don't know, Lisa, can you highlight the text that should be deleted in that, or is that not possible? Or Marika, whoever's controlling that.
No, Chuck, we can't modify the PDF
okay,
in real time.
So I'll talk to it. That's fine. So if you go to the second line there where it says interact with general data protection regulation, that would be deleted. That was not supposed to remain in there. So it would read, Article 5 of the EU Commerce Directive requires service providers to disclose their contact information, period. And then it continues, does this apply, et cetera. Any questions or comments on that? And Steve, thanks for catching that. That was appreciated. Okay. Going on. Oh, yes. Javi, go ahead. I'm sorry I didn't refer to your comments because you did talk about this, and I had a note to do that, and I didn't look. Go ahead and speak,
please.
Can
you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. If you're looking for questions to be deleted from the list, I would suggest deleting question number four, also with the revision that was just made, because I think the question does not really concern data protection. The e-commerce directive that has been referred to regulates all sorts of other matters, but not data protection. And considering that this is a session with data protection commissioners, I don't think they would be able to reflect on the application of the e-commerce directive in any way. So if you're looking for questions to be deleted, my suggestion would be to delete this one.
Thanks, Javi, and I know you're a lot more expert in this than I am, and probably quite a few others in the group, so your suggestion is appreciated. Anybody else have a comment before I ask if there's anyone that objects to deleting question number four in its entirety? Okay. Any objections to deleting question number four? Just put a red X in the Adobe or speak up if you're not in Adobe. Okay. Question four will be deleted. We've narrowed it down some. Mark?
Chuck, this is Mark Anderson. I just want to note Vicki Scheckler notes that she's not on the bridge but strongly disagrees. In
oh,
chat.
Thanks. I didn't see that. I appreciate you calling it to my attention. Keep me honest, please.
Uh,
So you can see what Vicky's saying there. For those not in Adobe, would like to understand the interaction between the e-commerce directive and GoPro. And Vicky, I'm guessing that that's part that was the purpose of this question. I don't have the original list in front of me, but you're probably the one that suggested this one, so I appreciate you speaking up. Let's call on the people in the Adobe, and starting with Steve.
Yes, thank you. Steve Metalis. I do think, as Greg Shatton has said in the chat, I think it's the question of the interaction between the e-commerce directive and the General Data Protection Directive, General Protection Regulation. In my question about this, and I apologize since this may have been discussed last week, this asks about domain name registrars. I thought the issue was registrants. So if you have a registrant who is a business and may be required under the EU e-commerce directive to disclose that information, how does that affect the question of disclosure of that information in the RDS? I thought that the issue was about registrants rather than registrars. I mean, registrars have to disclose their contact information. I mean, ICANN discloses the contact information of registrars. That's part of being accredited. So I wasn't quite sure how, and that really isn't done in the RDS. It doesn't need to be necessarily done in the RDS. So I wasn't quite sure if this about the thrust of this entire question.
Yeah, Steve, this is Chuck. Note Vicky's answer in the chat. She said it should be registrants, not registrar. So another good catch, Steve. So
okay.
appreciate. We're going to have to hire you, I think.
Well, I'm going to follow Amr right there.
There you go. So. Thanks, Vicky. Appreciate your participation in this. Let's go to Theo.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm actually a little bit confused now. Changed to registrant. I mean, I was reading registrars and registries. So I'm going to drop my question for now.
Okay. Do you think it should be both, Theo? This is Chuck.
Well, okay. Thanks, Chuck. The first time I was reading it, it was talking about the... I read registrars, and as such, I thought it was the e-directive, the commercial e-directive, and I thought, okay, this is not applicable to what we are doing, because that definitely specifies under which circumstances what we need to put in a who is or not. And when it comes to commercial use, we have to disclose that information. And I thought it had to do something with that, and I thought that's completely out of our scope. So that's why I agreed with Chaba in the first place on the list earlier this morning. Thanks.
Thanks, Theo. And those that have, a couple of you have, Vicky and Greg have red X's. Leave those in there. We'll come back to my question. You can put it back in later. Doesn't matter. But I'll come back to that question so that your red X's aren't ignored, okay? Let's go to Lisa, please.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. In massaging the original text that Vicky submitted for this question, we may have obscured her original intent, which I think was just to understand the interplay between the EU Commerce Directive requiring service providers to disclose their contact information and cases where those service providers might be have their data in a registration directory service. So we may have confused the registrar and registrant thing, but personally, I think it applies to any case where there's contact information for a service provider. Would it be required by that EU Commerce Directive, and therefore, is there a conflict between that and data protection laws? So that's how I read the question, and hopefully that clarifies things a little bit.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Chuck. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Greg Shatton for the record, and... this may be a little bit behind, but Article 5 does say, which is called general information to be provided, just does say that in addition to other information requirements established by community law, the member state shall ensure the service provider shall render accessible to the recipients of the service and to competent authorities at least the following: the name of the service provider, geographic address of the service provider, the detail of the service provider, email address, allowing rapid and direct and effective communication. I'm paraphrasing. Services where the service provider is registered, the trade register in which they're registered, and any supervisory authority if relevant. So, the question itself is definitely about, or Article 5 is definitely about service providers. So I guess the question here is, are all of these service, who is a service provider? How does this interact with the GDPR and so forth? But I did want to just clarify what Section 5 said. I'm sure other people knew that, but I just wanted to get it into the conversation because it refers neither to registrants nor registrars, but merely service providers. And even registrars are registrants, but it's kind of a question of role at some point. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Chuck again, and note Tajavi's comments in the chat. Rather than taking too long on this one, I think I'm inclined to suggest that we leave the question and follow the advice of the two people earlier, that let's let them tell us whether they can or can't answer and so forth. So, unless...
Can I jump in here? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? It's Stephanie. Yes.
Sorry, I should have called on you earlier once you got into audio. Would you please speak up? Yes.
Yes, okay. I hope you can hear me, Stephanie Perrin. I just wanted to jump in. Steve had made the comment earlier that we didn't actually have any data protection commissioners coming. And I wanted to make sure everyone understood that the EDPS, the European Data Protection Supervisor, is a data commissioner responsible for enforcing the directive throughout the European Union and its various bodies. So he's a commissioner, all right. And so is the Article 29 Vice Chair. He is the Dutch Data Protection Authority, and he is functioning as the Article 29 Vice Chair, and he will be coming as well. So I think we may find that they are quite prepared to give general answers to some questions that relate to their own authority. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. This is Chuck. And if I understood you correctly, and I think this is the question that Steve was asking, are both of those individuals responsible for enforcement?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. No,
and apparently the Dutch guy used to be, apparently the Dutch data commissioner used to be a prosecutor, so he's probably well of them aware of enforcement.
Thank you very much, Stephanie, and I apologize for not calling on you sooner.
Not at all, and I'll mute myself now, I guess.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Theo, this is a complex question. Our whole job is complex, and we'll get more complex as we go. I wish I could change that, but it is. So let's go ahead and leave four. It'll be changed to registrants instead of registrars, and we'll leave that. Any other questions on this category of questions about registration data elements, which is also includes question five? And just to be fair, five is the one I added, okay? I think it would be good if we could get them, if they will venture opinion, to tell us whether any of the thin data elements we've been looking at are, if they would consider them personal data. Going on then to the next category, access to registration data for criminal investigation. Okay. And that's questions six and seven. Any comments on those? Okay, going to the next category, personal privacy and human rights. There are four questions there, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And I'm hoping that some of you, I know you haven't had this a long time, but it was sent out yesterday. So hopefully you had a chance to at least skim these. Any comments, questions, concerns about questions 8, 9, 10, and 11? Yes, Greg.
Greg Shatton, for the record again. Actually, sorry, my hand was a little slow, and this is with regard to question 6. In the second sentence, we refer to private cybersecurity firms investigating crime. I'm not sure if this is the right place to ask about this, we would have to change the title of this section a bit, but about private cybersecurity firms investigating civil offenses as well as criminal offenses. Perhaps it only applies to criminal offenses, so this isn't the place to ask about it, but want to keep an eye on both criminal and civil investigations. Also in number 7, now there's a reference only to the economic rights or private cybersecurity firms. That should probably be of private cybersecurity firms at the very end of 7. As far for the IP industry, we're not merely talking about economic rights, but also rights to enjoy the fruits of one's creative labors, which falls into a different category, at least under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Thanks. I think it does, at least. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck for the edits. Going back to question 6, are you suggesting an edit to edit so that it includes both criminal and civil offenses?
In kind of talking it through as I went through it, the predicate is that only suppression of criminal offenses is an exemption to application of the GDPR. If that understanding is true, then maybe this is not the right place to ask about the interaction between investigation of civil offenses and the GDPR. But I think we should ask about the interaction between investigation of civil offenses and the GDPR somewhere.
So you would maybe add that as another question here.
Right.
Okay. I'll come back to that. Let's go to Rod, see what he has to say.
Thanks.
Hi, Rod Rasmussen. I just putting a little bit of a further point on what Greg just brought up is that there are investigations of network abuse or just abuse in general, which may or may not even be civil issues from a legal perspective, but they certainly are operational issues when you comes to things like spam or DDoS or things like that. Those are typically fall under some sort of statute, but not necessarily. And there are certainly areas that are used, the WHOIS is used for. So this may be a little bit more expansive. And that might be the other question as well is how do you, where would it be appropriate to look at providing information to resolve abuse and or even other kinds of technical issues. That gets a little far afield from where this started, but just that point that Greg brought out got me thinking along those lines as well. Thanks.
So this is Chuck. Rod, do I understand you to say you would support adding a question like Greg suggested about civil offenses?
Civil and abuse in general.
So we could say apply to private cybersecurity firms investigating crime, civil offenses, or abuse in general. That probably wasn't
correct. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Anybody object to adding that or rewording this so that it covers all three? Speak up now. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead and do that. Okay. Lisa?
Hi. Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. Just to be clear, we'll both generalize the heading and then the wording of question six itself.
Thank you. Okay. We didn't have any comments on 8 through 11. We backed up to the other ones. Unless somebody speaks up very quickly, I'm moving to the jurisdiction category. Questions 12, 13, and 14. Any comments on those? Okay. The next to last category is compliance with applicable laws, and that's questions 15, 16, and 17. Anything on those? Okay. And the last category is consumer protection, questions 18 and 19. Okay. Again, thanks to all those that made this happen in very short order. Ideally, it would have been nice if we had several weeks instead of about 1.5 weeks or so to finalize this list. And probably we should have started earlier, but we didn't. So here we are. So let me ask Lisa, Marika, and Amr, please speak up now if there's any questions you have, so that we can finalize this and get this list of questions out. Okay. Very good. Again, a good team effort all the way around, including what we did today. So I compliment everybody on that. Item 2B of the agenda is our face-to-face meeting on Saturday. Okay. Lisa, do you have something you can post on? I think you have something to post on this, at least a general agenda that we have. I'll let you know while Lisa's posting that, your leadership team is meeting Friday night to try and finalize the agenda, because we know that the progress we make today or don't make today in this meeting will impact what we're doing on Saturday in the 3 hours that we have. So, and we want to make that as productive as possible. So we're going to meet to make any final adjustments to the agenda for Saturday so that we don't waste time in the 3 hours fumbling around with the agenda. You can see up there the draft agenda. Again, you can scroll down. So we are going to ask everyone there to introduce themselves really briefly. Name and affiliation, if any. In other words, you know, a 15-second interjection. Because some will be, even those that some of us know, other people that are new, weren't in our last face-to-face meeting, may not have seen you. So that's going to be a real quick, and of course we'll give an update for a chance for updating the SOI. We will talk very briefly about our work plan, and we're going to show the progress made, including the conclusions, that the interim conclusions that we've been reaching over the last several weeks, so that everybody can see those. And, of course, we'll explain that those could be changed later, but for right now there seems to be rough consensus in the group about these conclusions. Then we're going to get back into what we're going to continue what we're doing today and have been doing for the last couple of weeks in terms of Task 12A, and in particular those three categories and the key concepts that we're working on right now. So if we finish a purpose statement today, and confirm that on the list the rest of the week. We may not have to do any more on the purpose statement, which is at relatively high level. And then you can see under agenda item 3, finalizing our preparation for the cross-community session with the data commissioners. Hopefully we won't have to do much there. I think we'll see what happens between now and our work group meeting on Saturday. But if there are any things that we need to do to finish preparing for that, we'll take care of that under 3A. 3B depends on what we do today, okay? If we're able to finish it today, we may still just have a confirmation of the purpose statement in that face-to-face. But we may not have to spend too much time on that, again, depending on progress today. And you can see the question there, 2-3, what should be the overarching purpose of collecting, maintaining, providing access to GTLD registration thin data? If, and we'll evaluate this Friday night in our leadership session in Copenhagen. So far, we've been focusing on collection and on thin data. We very well could expand that in our face-to-face session, which should be fun, okay, beyond thin data and start talking about thick data and start talking about maintaining and providing access. Now, that's a lot. We're not going to finish that, but it's possible if we have plenty of time that we'll start expanding our discussions beyond the limited scope we've been using the last few weeks. Any questions or comments on the agenda for Saturday? I think that'll be a pretty interesting agenda for those that may be observing us, and I think it'll be a pretty interesting agenda for us and help us to really start making even more significant progress. Not that it'll be easy or that we'll get it done in that three-hour meeting, but hopefully we'll make some good progress in identifying the issues that we need to. Okay. And looking at the chat, okay. Another thing that I guess is agenda item 3C that I should talk about a little bit. I kind of skipped over that. One of the things, and I guess I'm looking at the wrong agenda. So I'm looking at our today's agenda. So let me stop there, and I think we're okay on the Saturday meeting. Okay. So our next agenda item then for today is to talk about the Wednesday session, which is an hour and a half working group session on Wednesday. It's designed to be a follow-up to not only the meeting on Saturday, but in particular the cross-community session on Monday. Now, that's not a working group meeting on Monday. Hopefully all of you will be there, but it's not a working group meeting. But we're pretty sure that all of the questions we've posed, I think we're down to 18 now, won't get covered in the 90-minute cross-community session on Monday. So our goal is to have use that session exclusively for interacting with the data commissioners as a working group and asking the questions or even following up on answers they gave on Monday to the questions we've asked. So that's going to be our primary focus. Should there be any extra time, which I highly doubt, we'll go ahead and we could continue our meeting from Saturday, but I really don't think that's going to happen. But that would be easy to do if we do that. And then, of course, our next meeting, as Marika puts in the chat, after ICANN 58 will be Tuesday, March 28th. So we will skip a week like is standard practice after that. Any questions on the Wednesday agenda? Okay, so let's go to agenda item 3 for today, which is to continue our deliberation on the purpose charter question. And we had a little longer poll than usual. We're going to go through the results on that now. So if we could bring up the results for the poll. We didn't have a great response. I think there were 17 people responded. one of the things that I found in the results for this poll, the comments are always useful, but I found them for myself to be particularly useful, and they most of them made a lot of sense. So what we're going to do, and this is coming from the leadership team, we walked through this in quite a bit yesterday. What we're going to do is we're going to suggest some changes to the purpose statement and to how we use the data that we got out of this poll. Questions 2, 3, and 4 in the polls, several people noted that these really aren't purpose. They're really not purposes. In fact, they're even in the wording of the question, they're worded, do you support these as goals for us developing a purpose statement? And that's what they were intended to be. So it's our suggestion, and we did this primarily based on the comments, that we don't put these goals that are stated in questions 2, 3, and 4 in the purpose statement itself, but rather that we identify them as goals for the working group in regard to developing a purpose statement for an RDS. You're welcome. I'm not going to go through them. The comments in a lot of detail. Lisa sent around the comments and her comments and my comments and so forth through the comments and so forth. Unless we need to, we won't go that route. But what I'd like to ask, if there's any objection to doing what I just said, in other words, keeping the three things in questions 2, 3, and 4 as goals of developing a purpose statement, and certainly not forgetting those as we continue, so that, and in fact, what we would want to do is come back once we have a purpose statement. We need to go back and test ourselves and make sure that we have achieved those goals. Any objections to that or questions about that if I didn't make it clear? Okay, then I'm going to assume that we will just go ahead and do that in our key concepts document and in our continuing work on a statement of purpose. Now, going then to question 5, and you may want to scroll down to question 5 so that you have that in front of you. But it appeared to us that this one was pretty straightforward. There was a couple people disagreed, but it was pretty good conclusion. there seemed to be very strong agreement that a purpose of and notice it says a purpose. It doesn't say the purpose. It says a purpose of GTLD registration data is to provide information about the life cycle of a domain name. So we think we can accept that as certainly a strong, rough consensus purpose. So certainly anybody want to comment on that, you're welcome to. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa, for the record, I just wanted to point your attention to chat where a couple of people were asking for a clarification on what was going to happen with the goals statements.
And did you want to answer that?
Sure. So it's my understanding that the goals, all six goals, 1 through VI, would move out of the body of the statement of purpose but remain in the same section in our key concepts document to serve just as guidance to this working group as we finish the statement of purpose, but not to remain as part of the statement of purpose.
Thanks. Thanks, Lisa, and I'm sorry I didn't make that clear. Okay. All right. Going to question six. This one we'd like to spend a little time on just because we think maybe it could be reworded better, and we'd like your input on that now. If you look at the comments, in particular, comments 4 and 6, two different people kind of said the same thing. If you look at comment 6, it actually proposes specific rewording pretty much along the lines of comment 4. The purpose of an RDS is to facilitate the dissemination of authoritative source registration data. So we thought that was pretty good rewording, but we want to test it with all of you now. Any problems with rewording that as so this part of the purpose statement would say the purpose of an RDS is to facilitate the dissemination of authoritative source registration data. Anybody have a problem with that? Does anybody think we need to test that with a poll? We can do that if it's thought necessary. Obviously, everybody's not on the call. But it seems pretty consistent to me with what question was saying in the first place, but maybe cleared up some ambiguity or lack of clarity.
Hello?
Discussed. Yes, Stephanie,
hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. It worked. Stephanie Perrin, for the record, predictably enough, I would like a little refinement to that. Dissemination almost implies status quo. It's the authorized dissemination, I would think.
That's, I think, a good edit, but does anybody disagree with that? Thanks, Stephanie. Okay. So we'll add the word authorized in front of dissemination. Okay, Greg, go ahead.
It's Greg Shatton for the record. I guess if dissemination without a modifier assumes the status quo, authorized dissemination assumes a change from the status quo and a particular change involving authorization. Perhaps we need to either say dissemination authorized, potentially, through authorization or dissemination or authorized dissemination as the case may be, or something that is a little bit more value neutral.
Suggest that rewording again, please, Greg. This is Chuck.
I'm trying to say, dissemination authorized if or
or not?
Should we say as authorized by policy? Some of you wondered in the comments why we had that parenthetical based on approved policy in some of the questions. The purpose of that was just to indicate that it's going to be dependent on the policies that we recommend and if those policies are approved. And this is the case. Any dissemination would be based on any policies that we develop later. I think the authorization is going to be dependent upon our policies and how we implement those policies. Try that again, Greg.
Well, I think if we have the subject to policy at the end of that, then we don't need to have the word authorized in there because that would be something that would be taken care of.
Can I?
I'm going to call on you, Stephanie. Go ahead and finish, Greg, if you didn't.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead, Stephanie.
I'm just wondering if Greg would prefer appropriate dissemination or dissemination as appropriate. Not quite as hard-edged as authorized, although I think we're going to get there.
What about Fabricio's suggestion in the chat? How about dissemination of authorized data in accordance with applicable policy?
It's not the data that's authorized, it's the dissemination that's authorized.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, what about dissemination in accordance with applicable policy? At least got a laugh.
That suggestion, just off data was authoritative, not authorized, so I think we need to consider his intervention accurately.
So what's your final – notice Lisa's and Fabricio's, they said the same thing, authoritative data. So dissemination of authoritative data in accordance with APCO policy. Does that work, Stephanie?
Well, you're introducing the authoritative aspect, which is really a qualifier of the data quality. I didn't think we were talking about that. The purpose, that's kind of a freebie you're getting thrown in there. I don't think we've agreed on whether the data that we're distributing through the RDS is the authoritative data yet.
Okay.
That was in the original language, not just Fabricio's suggestion.
Well, it said authoritative source of information. Didn't necessarily say authoritative data. I thought the same thing at first, Greg. So this is Chuck. So Sarah asks whether we could take authoritative out. It was in the original question, or at least the source was authoritative. So that's a fair question. We'll skip over your last question, Greg. Lisa's probably right. And I think this is part of Stephanie's concern, is that we're moving a little bit further away from where it started. We got several hands up. Lisa, do you want to start?
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. Just to point out, I don't think that the word provide, I think we struggled with what that word should have been when this particular specific purpose was crafted. But I think the emphasis of this purpose was to provide an authoritative source of information. And what we've been talking about is more about access and how information is disseminated and whether it needs to be authorized and so forth. But I think the original goal was that there should be an authoritative source of information. That may not be what this working group wants to end up with, but that's where I think it started.
Thanks, Lisa. You know, Mark, I think your hand's been up for a long time. Before I go back to Greg, would you go ahead and speak, please? I don't want you to report me to my boss.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark Anderson for the record. I listen to this conversation. You know, I think we're getting into sort of the chicken and the egg conundrum we've struggled a little bit with, and and that it's really hard for us to get comfortable with some of these statements when we haven't yet gotten to defining what data and under what circumstances it'll be made available. And so when we haven't settled, we haven't definitively answered those questions yet, it's hard for us to definitively answer some of these purpose statements. And it's just sort of the circular nature of what we're, what we're wrestling with right now. I think, Lisa or somebody made the point earlier that, sort of the bracketed statement based on approved policy, it was in some ways meant to be, a little bit of a placeholder. It's like, okay, we're going to get to discussions about what data is, or what that data is we're talking about here and under what circumstances it'll be made available. I think we're going to have to come back to these as we answer some of those questions later on. But that's just sort of my two cents from listening to the conversation and seeing it evolve. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I think that's pretty well said. This is Chuck. And as we've said many times, excuse me, not today, we will be able to come back to all of these as we move forward and find out, hey, we should have worded that a little bit differently and tweak it a little bit. So let's keep that in mind before we spend too much time on rewording this one. But it would be helpful if we came to some wording that we can capture now. We may have to test it in a brief poll. But and again, Greg used the word iterative. Remember, we're doing all this iteratively, so we will move forward and backwards and so forth, and it'll all get better as we go. Let me suggest this rather than beating this horse into the ground. Lisa, are you comfortable? Lisa and Marika and Amr, are you guys comfortable with coming up with a statement that we can put in a poll and see if people are okay with it, and ask them, if not, in their comments to suggest changes, and hopefully in that process we can come up with something that's at least acceptable for now, realize we can come back to it later. Go ahead, Lisa.
Chuck, I think my take from the conversation is that there are at least two or three different alternative statements. What we could do is pull on those, let's say, three alternative statements and get a sense of support for them or additional comments back on them, if that would be acceptable.
That's fine. That's better than what I suggested, I think. So thanks for doing that, suggesting that. Okay. All right. Let's go to question seven. See if we can take a look at that. Do you agree that a purpose of RDS is to identify domain contacts and facilitate communication with domain contacts associated with generic top-level domains and based on approved policy? So, again, everything we're doing is going to be based on approved policy, but it's helpful to keep that in mind because we don't develop policy until later. So, any suggested edits on this one? You can look at the comments. There was a little bit of confusion, not full agreement by some people. Anybody have suggestions as to how the purpose could be worded better? To identify domain contacts and facilitate communication with domain contacts associated with GTLDs. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark again. I thought this was interesting when I was responding to this, because I think question seven, purpose 7 here is probably as close a statement to the original intent of who is as we have. You know, I think maybe the original intent of who is was to identify these contacts and facilitate communication with them. I thought that was very interesting. But I think this has evolved a little bit over the years in that. Sort of the old notion of your domain, registrant, admin, tech, and billing contacts, maybe isn't what is needed going forward, and that what's needed is a way to is a way to facilitate communication, or is a way to contact the appropriate person for a particular need. If you have a technical issue with that registration, or there's an abuse, or somebody's intellectual property is being abused. I think there are more specific purposes than sort of the traditional way that we viewed this. So I thought this was interesting reading it, because it's maybe close to the original intent of who is, but it just needs maybe a modern refresh there.
So can you give us that modern refresh, Mark? This is Chuck.
Well, I started trying to on the fly, talking about some of the purposes that people have already identified. When we talk about why we would need to contact a domain owner, is there a technical issue going on? I think we've had some good conversations on the list talking about who you should contact in certain scenarios. Do you contact the registrar? Do you contact the the hosting provider? Do you contact is there a register, who at the registrant do you contact? But I think what we need here, or what we should look at, is our purpose of RDS is to provide that contact. If you need to contact somebody related to the operation of a domain name or the registration of a domain name, RDS should be able to facilitate that contact
So, and I encourage others to jump in on this. This is Chuck. Do you agree that the purpose is to identify domain contacts? We're not saying which contacts, but to identify domain contacts. Is that part okay, Mark?
I'm not really opposed to it, Chuck, but I'm not sure it's really I feel like that's maybe we're locking ourselves into our old thinking of how who is exists.
Okay.
And Lisa in chat pointed out the EWG notion of purpose-based contacts. I'm not opposed to it, but I don't think we necessarily have to identify a domain contact. I think we need to create a way to contact the appropriate person.
Well, do we need to add the word appropriate in there? Let's hear from Maxim, and then we'll come back to you, Mark. Maxim, go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. Do you hear me?
Yes. Hear you good.
Okay. I think we need to clarify this item a bit, because reading it straight, it's like we want to introduce some messenger or portal where the parties can communicate. I'm not sure we're going to dive into this, because it's a whole dimension of troubles there. We can facilitate acquisition of contact information if appropriate, but I'm not sure we want to facilitate communication. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. So, again, I'll let you look at the chat, the comments there. I think it's right that appropriate equals based on approved policy. That's fine. Steve asked an interesting question, Mark, and I'll let you respond to it orally, if you would, please. Isn't everything you are saying consistent with this statement in Q7?
Thanks, Chuck. Mark again. I'd agree with that, but I guess I'm really thinking about the, you know, the conversation that occurred on the list around, you know, who to contact and when. I think there's quite a lot of conversation about, you know, do you contact the hosting provider or the registrar, you know, in certain circumstances. And I guess my feeling is that if purpose 7 was being met, then that wouldn't have been a debate on the list. I think we'd have already answered that, and we'd know who to contact. But the fact that that was a debate and a discussion on the list makes me think that we haven't yet answered that question. And I guess that was sort of the point I was trying to make there. Not so much that I disagree with 7. I think Steve's right. I'm not saying anything that's inconsistent with it. But I think we haven't done enough there, maybe. That makes sense.
Well, do you think we need to do more in the purpose statement? You're right. We're going to have to deal with the issues you're talking about. But does that need to be in the purpose statement? The purpose statement, at least as a leadership team yesterday, we decided it really should be at a fairly high level. I am starting to think maybe we just leave it alone for now, and if we need to revisit it, we do that later, because nobody's really come up with a suggestion of how to change it.
Mark, again, fair point. And on the poll, I did select agree on that. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with it. I just think there's more work to do, and to your point, maybe that's work appropriate for later on in the PDP.
Okay, good. Well, let's leave that one alone then, and accept it as a rough consensus, not quite as strong as the previous as some others, but certainly pretty good support for that, and I think the discussion bears that out today. Let's go to question number 8 and take a look at that one. That one, I think, is another easy one. So unless somebody wants to talk about number 8, I would suggest that we accept that as a part of the purpose statement and a pretty strong rough consensus in that case, a little more than rough maybe. Any comments on that? Okay, let's go to question 9, the last one. And the leadership team has a suggestion here of a change. And again, I'll let you look at the comments if you haven't already on your own. They were considered. But we would suggest changing this goal to change the word promote to facilitate. Not a terribly significant change, but we thought it was a meaningful change and maybe appropriate. Any disagreement with that? Okay, so let's go ahead and make that change and accept that as a rough consensus conclusion for now. And that takes us to question number 10. The current draft statement of purpose includes several bracketed passages based on approved policy. We've talked about that a little bit, that were not fully agreed in password group calls. Do you agree that all of those bracketed passages should be included as is in the statement of purpose? If not, which bracketed passages do you propose changing or deleting, and why? And this one, was the weakest in terms of support, 62.5%. So there were only 10 people agreed and 6 disagreed. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Apologies. I need to take you back to the previous question where you suggested a change in wording, but
yes,
we didn't get the replacement word. Replacement for promote was what?
Facilitate.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to 10. I don't know how important at this stage it is for us to resolve this one. In my opinion, those bracketed things are just, you know, to remind people that however it ends up, it's going to have to be consistent with approved policy. So unless somebody thinks that we need to talk about this further, I'm inclined to move on to the next agenda item. Lisa, go ahead.
I would just point out there were a number of passages in the statement of purpose that were bracketed. The only bracketed phrase that seemed to get any comment was the based on approved policy. So perhaps we could go ahead and remove the brackets from the other passages, that is, except those, and leaving just the based on approved policy to further discuss what that means and how it applies.
Any objections to that? Okay, let's do it. Now, that brings us to agenda item 3C. And a couple different people in the last two calls kind of suggested that, okay, we've got all these elements of the of a purpose statement, but there might be more. So now I'm going to ask the question, are there any elements missing from the statement of purpose? And it's your turn, all the members of the working group, to answer that. Do you think there's something missing in the purpose statement? Now, what we'll do as a second, I think it's a second poll question for the week, will be to just put the what we've agreed to as a purpose statement today and ask that question in the poll as well. Are there any elements missing from the statement of purpose? So people that aren't on the call today will have a chance to answer that, either yes or no. And if yes, it's going to be a little different than our poll usually is. It's usually if you say no, we ask you to make sure you comment. In this case, if you say yes, what are they? Anybody have any suggestions? And this one may be a tougher one to answer on the spot now. I get that. So you may need to think about it. But please respond to the poll if you think we've covered it. Again, realizing that if we discover a purpose, a high-level purpose later on, we can always add it. We're not closing the door. But it would be good if people at least think through the question, are there any elements missing from the statement of purpose? And I'll open it up for discussion. It'll be easier once you actually see the what we've ended up with all together, and that'll happen in the poll. Now, while you're thinking, we'll need to, Lisa, when are we going to need for the deadline? Saturday night won't work this time for poll responses because we have our meeting in the afternoon on Saturday. So, can you tell us, while I turn to Mark, you can think about that and then let us know either in the chat or orally, when the cutoff. I know you're traveling Thursday and Friday, just most of us are, so think about that and let us know what the deadline will be for the poll. Mark, go ahead.
Chuck, thank you. It's Mark again. I'm sorry if I'm a little behind here, but I'm looking at the bracketed text question. I'm trying to understand exactly what we're talking about here, and it looks like we're just talking about question 9. That seems to be the only other place where I see bracketed text. And based on what Lisa's saying, the proposal is to leave the text and just remove the bracket. So am I correct in understanding, you know, that the only change we agreed to there was to change question 9 to do you agree that a purpose of RDS policy is to promote the accuracy of GTLD registration data? Do I have that right?
I think there are other instances of bracketed text, but Lisa, you're probably best qualified to answer Mark's question.
Sure. Just to clarify, Mark, I believe there were a number of clauses in the statement that have brackets around them. For example, in the introduction, there's a phrase that has brackets around it and services related to them, if any. There's also a bracketed instance of policy in purpose 5, and I think that might be it. So the proposal is to get rid of those brackets, leave the text that they contain, and then the only bracketed text that would remain is the 1, 2, 2 or 3 instances where based on approved policy has brackets around it.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Thanks for asking, Mark. Now we're coming up to the end of our time, and we may actually end on time, which is good. Let's talk about action items now, and the decision points. Now, let me encourage this time more than ever. We need all of you on the call to do this poll, if at all possible, because we're trying. Remember the wording on the one question, the one purpose that we need help on. So please, the more responses we get, the better to do that. And then we need to all of you to think about whether you think anything's missing in the list of purposes. So please, all of you, and we'll do our best to get the poll out today. And you'll have until Lisa tells us. Lisa, 9 a.m. Is that okay? Well, that's good. She's being very generous. So 9 a.m. Central European time. So for those of us in Copenhagen, that'll be 9 a.m. Saturday morning for us local time. That will be in the middle of the night for some of the rest of you on Friday night or Saturday morning early. So please do that. For those of us that are traveling, you might want to try and respond to the poll before you get on an airplane. That's what I'm going to try to do, and I hope you will too. But, I mean, it's okay if you have time after you land to complete it, but it'll really help us to get a lot of feedback. This isn't just confirming some things in the case of the first question. We're actually trying to fix the wording that we're unable to do on the call of one of the elements of the purpose statement. So help us so that we can – and then when we go into our afternoon meeting, what we will do, now that we know how much progress we've made today, we'll take early in the agenda, we will look at the purpose statement and try and incorporate the feedback from the poll. We'll spend time going through the poll results and comments like we did today on the new poll. So hopefully we can get pretty close to a a finalized statement of purpose for an RDS in our meeting on Saturday, giving people that aren't involved a chance to comment it afterwards, but we should be pretty far along on that. Again, realizing that we can change it down the road as we see fit. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Any other action items following this? Anything I've missed? Okay. I know it took a lot of time to go through the poll results, but we thought that it was useful, and I'm happy with the results that we've had today. And then if we're able to close out the other two items in the poll and in our meeting Saturday, that will be great. Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone, let me adjourn the meeting and thank all of you for your participation. For those of you traveling, have safe travels, and looking forward to seeing a lot of you in person on Saturday. Meeting adjourned. The recording can stop.